Oh, Father, we are so grateful for your presence in this house this morning. Lord, if you're not here, Lord, we might as well go home, but I thank you that you are here. Your presence is here in our midst, and we thank you, Lord God. For your word says, where we're gathered together, there you are in the midst, Lord. We are totally reliant on you, Lord God. I am totally reliant on you this morning. Lord, our desire is to hear from the throne, to hear from heaven, Lord God. We don't want words of man. We want words from God today. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for your empowering, anointing, and enabling this morning. Lord, to speak into our hearts and lives, Lord. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say and the conviction to act on what we hear. That we would be true believers who act in faith according to your word. We give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. Help us to yield to you alone. We yield our spirit, Lord God. Help us to yield this morning, Father. I pray by your divine intervention and guidance, we give you all the glory, all the praise, and all God's people said.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, give God some praise as you take your seats this morning. It is so good to see you this morning, and we give God praise because God is so good, amen?
Amen.
All the time. God is good, and God is good?
All the time.
Hallelujah. I trust you believe that, and I pray that if you're watching this morning, we want to welcome you as well. It's so good to see you. So glad you're able to join us, but we believe that wherever you are, God can speak this morning. It is so good to see you. And so many people as well. Monica's back as well. She went to her holidays in Watford. Can't think of a nicer place to go than Holiday Inn in Watford. But she went to sunny Watford for her holidays, and she's brought two people back, Helen and Jackie. It's so good. Let's just welcome Helen and Jackie. It's so good to see them as well. We go back to the days of Noah, don't we, Helen? And yes, it's been a while. And we knew Jackie and Helen back in Watford in the church a good number of years ago. But you've since emigrated to Somerset, haven't you? And you're now in Somerset, and you've been there for a while. But only up the road, just on the same road. It might be a long road, the M5, but we're just on the same road. So it is so good to see you today and good to be with us. And it's exciting what God's doing, isn't it? To hear about what's happening upstairs. It won't be long before you can come for a latte from Mrs. Bouquet's cafe. So just you wait, you know. Yeah, I suppose that makes me Onslow, doesn't it? But, you know, well, there you go. Yes, I don't need an amen, thank you. But God is so good as to what he's doing. And, you know, I want to say thank you to everyone who's been praying for my mum as well. I popped to see her in Scotland yesterday, the day before, as you do. Again, it's just on the same road, long road, but it's on the same road. And she's great. She's had the operation. She is a new creation. The old hip has gone and the new hip has come. Hallelujah. And we give God praise for the surgeon's hands. And, you know, they even managed to get her legs the same length again now. So she's walking in a straight line. Hallelujah now. So we give God praise. That was the icing on the cake. It's just amazing what God can do. And we thank God for, and she passes on her love and says thank you to everyone for praying. And we just continue to pray for a speedy recovery. And then she can emigrate to Torquay and get down here, hallelujah, and join us, and you'll be able to see her in person. So God is so good. We just give God thanks, and he is good all the time. And we're seeing so many answers to prayer at the moment. You know, we have a praise reports WhatsApp group, and we're seeing so many answers to prayer. As people are praying, God answers, you know. God breaks through, and we give God thanks for what he's doing. And I want to say to you, if you've not seen your miracle yet, if you haven't seen the answer yet, don't give up.
Amen.
Because God's not given up either. Amen. There's a verse in Philippians 1:6, which I'm sure you know, that says you can be confident.
That's right.
It says you can be confident that God's still on the case. It says being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you is still, it will carry it on until completion, until the day of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So let me encourage you this morning straight up. When that verse says he will carry it on into completion, that means he's not going to give up halfway through.
That's right.
God's not one of those DIYers who starts on a building project, you know, you've seen it, gets halfway through and thinks, oh, this is a bit off more than I can chew here. I'm not sure I can finish this one. It's a bit more difficult than I thought. I think I'm going to give up on this. God doesn't do that. He keeps on. He says he'll stick with you through thick and thin. No matter what it takes, he will stick with you. Even if it takes right up to the day of Christ Jesus, he's saying. He says, I'll still be there working. I'll still be making a way. I'll still be doing it. Hallelujah. So we can be confident. Amen. Amen. Confident of these things, that God is going to continue his work. He's in for the long haul. Hallelujah. God is with you for the long haul. He'll stick with you closer than a brother, says Proverbs 18:24, for the long haul. So be encouraged today. And God will see what God will do. Hallelujah. Just see what God wants to do. You know, because sometimes life is hard. We know life gets hard. Sometimes it is difficult to understand that God does want the very best for us. We know the scriptures, don't we? Romans 8:28, and all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. But sometimes it's difficult when we can't actually see that. And sometimes it's verses like that that's all we've got to hold on to. Because we can't see it in reality, but we walk not by sight. We walk by faith, remember? So we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. And we keep looking, hallelujah. We keep watching. We keep our eyes on him. You know, sometimes we just want things to be perfect, don't we? We just want them all work out. But I tell you, it's not. Life is not perfect. You know, I'm not going to preach for 10 minutes, full stop. It won't be perfect, hallelujah. But despite of these things, God still has everything in hand and knows what he's doing. And it's hard sometimes when the going gets tough. And you know, the only difference between people who develop and move on is what they do with what assails them. You can either survive or you can thrive. You can grow. You can choose to worry about tomorrow, or you can choose to hand tomorrow over into God's hands and let him do the worrying for you. You know, if you feel stressed, maybe you need to pray a prayer like this. Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I cannot accept, and the wisdom to hide the bodies of those I had to kill today because they got on my nerves. And also help me to be careful of the toes I step on today, as they may be connected to the feet that I have to kiss tomorrow. Lord, help me to give 100% at work. 12% on Monday, 23% on Tuesday, 40% on Wednesday, 20% on Thursday, and maybe 5% on Friday. And Lord, help me to remember when I'm having a bad day and it seems if people are trying to wind me up, it takes 42 muscles to frown. It takes 28 muscles to smile. And only 4 to extend my arm and smack someone in the mouth. Amen. Let's have the bad mic. No, I'm not finished. I'm not finished, really. I'm not finished. You see, it's not always ideal, is it? And it's not always working out just exactly as we want. But you know, as one church bulletin put it, don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. Well, I don't know. But let God help. Let me put it that way. Let's let God help. And I want to speak about something today. Just, you know, I'm not saying you'll hear something new today, but I want to remind you of some truths that I believe God wants to say and speak into our hearts and lives. Something's been on my heart for a while. And, you know, we've been through a paradigm shift with the experience that the COVID pandemic has brought. And many have thought that with the lifting of the restrictions, the lifting of lockdown, which we give God praise for, that life would ease again and the life-changing implications of everything that's been going through for the last 18 months would be lifted. But I'm seeing that rather than the relief that we thought this might bring, there's been as much anxiety and concern and worry about the implications of lifting the restrictions and what you might catch and who might catch what now. There may have been a global pandemic, but it seems now that this has resulted in a global epidemic of worry, fear, and anxiety. And I'm very aware that the church and Christians are not and have not been immune or exempt from this epidemic. And that's why I believe God wants to remind us today of what he has to say on the subject of fear and anxiety. You see, if you don't know what to do in a circumstance or situation and you don't know how to handle it, the best thing you can do is find out what God says on it. Yeah. Because Hebrews 4:15-16 says, what did Jesus say? He says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses and concerns and worries and anxieties, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, yet was without sin. Therefore, let us, because of what Christ has done, approach the throne of grace with confidence. Come on, say confidence. 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 So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So I want to read this morning from the book of Matthew. I want to read the words of Jesus. In my Bible, it's the red bits. You know, if you're stuck for what to read in the Bible, read the red bits, because they're the words of Jesus. They're the words that came out of Jesus' mouth. And in Matthew 6, verse 25, it says this. It says, do not worry. Quite simple. Jesus said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the fields, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown onto the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But, said Jesus, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and some of these things will be given to you as well. Sorry? Some of these things will... What does your Bible say? Sorry? These things, hallelujah, all these things, everything that's needed, because God meets all your needs according to his riches in glory, Philippians 4:19. All these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Therefore, why is it there? We see why we have a therefore. We see what's there for. It's therefore because he says all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Boy, don't we know it sometimes. Each day does have a lot of trouble, but hallelujah. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. God will add his blessing to his word. Father, thank you. Speak to us, Lord. Challenge us. Help us to lay hold of your truth, Father, each one of us. And let us let you do the worrying, Father, instead of us. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We do worry. Let's be honest. We all worry at times. I was worried that this sermon would come out all right. And God said, have you read the title? It says, don't worry. I said, well, okay. We all have concerns. We get anxious, don't we? You know, we had some concern in our house last week. Ben came down the stairs for a towel. And right at the bottom, there on the stair, we're on the stair, right there, a little mouse with no clogs on, but once it saw Ben and made a hasty exit for the understairs cupboard. Well, Ben pointed this out, and as you can imagine, you may well have heard the screams wherever you were. There was considerable commotion, concern, anxiety and fear, shall we say. Well, that's how I read it, judging by the way most of the girls were stood on the bench in the kitchen, perched there saying, I'm not moving till it's caught. Well, Sim helped. She put a chunk of red Leicester by the cupboard door just to try and entice it out. I'm not sure if it's partial to red Leicester or not, a little dormouse, but we never did quite find out that one. But it was down to Ben and myself to resolve this little issue. Now, if your understairs cupboard is anything like our understairs cupboard, oops, I'm going to get in trouble later, you really need a rope to go in there. And it was full to the gunnels of great amounts of stuff, and Mr. Mouse had decided to make his way to the rear of the cupboard to seek refuge in the most darkened recess corner of the cupboard. and hide there. And well, to cut a long story short, because these things never happen during social hours, normal hours, do they? It's always when you're about to go to bed and you're the last thing you want. And we eventually found it at the back of the cupboard and put it under a jar, and it watched us quite contentedly as we relocated it to the field opposite in Taunton. And now, you see, for the ladies of the house, although they were concerned about the mouse, the worry about getting it out was not theirs. It was mine and Ben's. For them, they were saying, that's their worry, not mine. Now I want to say to you today, we need to learn to say, it's time to say that it's not our worry, that's God's worry. That's not my worry, that's God's worry. And give it to God. Because he is the burden bearer, hallelujah. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. Matthew 11:28-30, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, hallelujah. This is the God we serve. This is the reality of the God they serve. You know, this word is real. Yes, it is real and true. And that's why it sets us free. That's why it liberates us. That's why it causes our fears and concerns and anxieties to go. Because it is the true word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And we need to change our attitude to the burdens and issues of life. Because our attitude to these burdens and concerns of this life is crucial to how we cope with them and deal with them. There was a lady who woke up one day and looked in the mirror and found she had only 3 hairs. A bit like me. Oh, well, she said, never mind. I'm going to braid my hair today. So she braided it, went to bed. Next day she woke up and looked in the mirror and found she'd only 2 hairs left. She said, oh my goodness, today I'm going to have my hair in a party. So she parted her hair that day. The next day she woke up, she looked in the mirror and yes, she only had 1 hair left. She said, oh, that's good, I can wear my hair in a ponytail today. And yes, you know, you can see it coming, can't you? She woke up the next day, she looked in the mirror, and there was not a single hair left on her head at all. She smiled and said, oh, that's brilliant. I don't even need to worry about my hair today. Hallelujah. You see, our attitude towards the issues and the problems that we face determines how we deal with them, determines our position. Circumstances don't change, but our attitude does. Our understanding does. Our knowledge of who is the burden bearer comes into reality. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of us don't need to worry about our hair. Ladies, some of you don't even need to worry about your hair. Hallelujah. It's beautiful anyway. You know, we pack on all this filler and, I mean, this makeup and everything, you know. And you're beautiful anyway, ladies. You're made in the image of God. Beautiful. Fearfully and wonderfully made. I mean, I look in the mirror sometimes mornings and I think, Tim, you look a bit more fearful than wonderful today. But, you know, it is God who's created us. And some of the things we worry about, the clothes we wear, the things we wear, we all look the part. And, you know, we come to church and we've all got it all together. Morning, sister, morning, brother. And we're having a big argument in the car on the way here. Who's sitting there? Who's there? Get out of the car. No, you sit there. No, she can sit there. You know, come on. Let's get real. God wants to get real with us. He wants us to know the reality and the truth of his word. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Well, I'm looking forward to the day when I don't have to worry about fixing my hair. And when things don't work out how we expect, those trials and tribulations come, John 16:33. Rather than be glad we no longer have to fix our hair, we get hung up because things have changed and we don't know how we're going to cope with the change. And rather than deal with it head on, we bury our heads in the sand and try and just deal with it in our Christian life. We end up kicking against the goads, kicking against God's flow, trying to go against what God's doing, rather embracing what God is doing. Saying, no, I'm not going to change. I'm going to hang on, Lord God. I'm going to hang on for grim death. And you know, some people, that's where it takes them. rather than submitting and surrendering. Acts 26:14, God said to Paul, it's hard to kick against the goads. And we think, if I can just make it through, if I can just get through this until tomorrow, if I can just survive through this month, if I can just hang on until I get through this situation, until this clears, until things get back to normal, when in fact they never will get back to normal. That's survival mentality. And worry creates a survival mentality. It robs us of our peace. It robs us of our energy. It consumes us and it distracts us. We become focused on our issues and blinded to the needs of those around us. We stop communicating. We lose our joy. We become narrow-minded. We can't relax and we lose our peace. You see, worry is a thief.
That's right.
A great tool the enemy uses to prevent us from fulfilling our God-given destiny and walking in that fullness of life that Jesus purchased and promised in John 10:10. The devil comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and life in all its fullness. Hallelujah. Isn't it time we started walking in some of that fullness? Isn't it time we started embracing some of that fullness that Christ purchased for us on the cross? Because it's all been done, it's all been finished, it's all been completed, the way's been made open, and we need to embrace all that he's done and walk in the freedom that we heard about last week, the freedom in Christ. Hallelujah. Because he has purchased and made a way. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. I remember meeting a guy on site once, and he introduced himself saying, I'm a worrier. I said, oh dear. I said, well, I'm a worrier. He said, well, I'm a worrier. He said, I've worried all night about this job. I thought, what if it doesn't fit? What if we can't get it to work? What if I put the wrong thing in? What if the cinema doesn't pay me? What if this? What if that? What if it? And he told me all his worries, and he said that he's even worried if he's got nothing to worry about. I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy, this is going to be hard work. He told me he worries. He said even his wife tells him not to worry. I'm not surprised she'd be worried about him worrying. And she said to him, it's not going to change anything. And he's even worried about what she said. I said, you need to come to church and listen to a sermon on worry. You need to realize that Jesus can take your burdens.
Amen.
You see, they say that 80% of the things we worry about never actually happen.
Right.
Worrying is more harmful than helpful. It causes stress. Worrying about your future hampers your efforts today. And worrying doesn't change anything. That's what Jesus said, except making you less effective to deal with the obstacles you're facing. Now, expert psychologists say that there's a distinction between anxiety that produces positive results. For example, being concerned about an exam you're about to sit can cause you to knuckle down and revise and work for the exam. That's one thing, but there's negative anxiety that causes us to imagine the worst, fear the most, throw out all our rational thinking, and forget that our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, has us and holds us in the very palm of his hands. Isaiah 49:16. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. You remember when you had to just scribble something down to make sure you didn't forget? Or I'm sure that I wonder if some of you did do that at school, you know, when you got an exam and you used to just scribble something on. There's nobody here who used to do that. Did you used to do that, Matt? I can't believe you would ever do a thing like that. No, I thought not. And yes, it was just me. Oh, conviction, Lord. I feel convicted. Confession is good for the soul. Lord, forgive me. And we used to write things on the hands so that you just look at it and you'd see. You know what? God's inscribed my name on the palm of his hands.
Amen.
He glances and he says, Tim, quick, Gabriel, quick, we need to sort something. Tim, look what you're doing now, for goodness sake. And he remembers you. He's got your name inscribed there. He says, oh, Jonathan, yes. Well, we'll forgive him for wearing that shirt today in church, but, Oh, Jonathan, yeah, I remember. Oh, yes, Benita, yes. See, and he's got your name written there, inscribed. God has not forgotten you. You know, there's some people here, and God is just saying this, that there's someone here, maybe more than one, who feel like you've been forgotten. You feel like you've been forgotten. You feel like nobody's remembered you. God has you inscribed on the palm of his hand. He's got you written. He's written your name there. And he sees you. He sees you and he knows you. He knows what you're going through. He knows where you're at. He knows everything about your circumstance, your situation, where others have not believed you, where others have not taken your side, where others have not come alongside. God knows. God has seen. God is your vindicator. God is your vindicator. Someone needs to hear that this morning. God is your vindicator. And he has inscribed you on the palm of his hands. He will never forget. You see, God wants you to do more than just survive. We think, yes, I can survive when I'm in the good times. I can thrive when I'm in the good times. But I want to tell you, God wants you to thrive in the tough times too. When disaster seems to strike, that's when God wants you to thrive and grow. The message today is stop worrying about tomorrow and just surviving and start to thrive and grow. Hallelujah. It's about our attitude and our perspective. Whose report shall we believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report are you believing today? Who will you trust and believe? Will you believe these words, these red words of Jesus that we're reading? Will you believe that he has spoke the words he spoke to his disciples are the words that he's saying to you today? Will you believe that the same God who created life in you, who ordained all the days written for you, Psalm 139, can be trusted with all the details of your life and your circumstances? After all, you're still here, aren't you? You're still here. You'd look in the mirror and check, but you're still here. Hallelujah. God is still in control. He's not forgotten about you. Psalm 23, verse 5 says, "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows." You see, it doesn't just overflow when things are going well. We look for the overflowing cup in the good times. But I want to tell you, God wants you to experience the overflowing cup in the bad times, in the trials, in the tribulations, in the midst. You see, it's when the enemies come in. It says, the saying says, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. But I want to say, when the going gets tough, God gets going. Hallelujah. Because he's the one who fights on our behalf. He does not ignore the cry. He acknowledges the cry. Psalm 25, verse 3. "No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame." Hallelujah. Acts 2:21. "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Psalm 125, verse 1. "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken." Hallelujah. I'm getting too excited here, spitting everywhere. "It cannot be shaken." Now it's anointed, don't worry. "It cannot be shaken, and it endures forever." Hallelujah. Isaiah, swallow first. Isaiah 40, 31. "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will what? They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will what? They will run and not grow weary. They will what? They will walk and not be faint." Do I have to go on? We've learned to trust God even when we don't have all the answers and we don't know everything that's going on. Hallelujah. You see, worry is based on fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of failure. Fear of disaster. Fear of our well-being. But you know, in the midst of that, that's where God has prepared a table for us. That's where the overflowing table is, in the presence of your enemies, in the presence of your fears, in the presence of your anxieties, in the presence of your concerns, in the presence of your worries. That's where the overflowing table is. Not just where everything's hunky-dory and everything's going fine, but in the presence of the enemies. Hallelujah. The table of abundance, the table that overflows, the table of growth and development, in the presence of our enemies. And some of us will not go into the presence of our enemies because we're afraid. But you know, often the answer we seek is found precisely in the place where we dread to go. The place where we don't want to be is the place where you get the answer. The place we cannot afford to miss is in the presence of our enemies. It's not the place we cannot afford to go. It's the place we cannot afford to miss. Let me say that again. It's not the place we cannot afford to go. It's the place we cannot afford to miss. It might be talking to your boss about something. It might be working how you go from a new position. It might be dealing with the circumstances around you. It's how God wants to make you grow in character, and that's where the abundance and overflow is. So what must we do? Because doing nothing is a breeding ground for worry, anxiety, and fear. Doing nothing breeds a survival mentality where we bury our heads in the sand and hope that the situation will go away. Because we have to show our faith. We know Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For everyone who comes to him must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. But faith is not a doing nothing thing. Faith is an active thing. Faith is a doing thing. Faith is action that demonstrates our trust in him who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The book of James tells us, and as they'd say in Scotland, faith without works is deed.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's too much deed faith around. And we need to get living faith, hallelujah. Faith without works is deed, but hallelujah, we're looking for living faith. And God says living faith will cause him to be pleased and will cause him to act, and we'll see the abundance and the overflow in the midst of that place of faith. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Aye, you see what God does. So the first thing we need to do, you must have been practicing this week in Scotland, Kathy. The first thing we need to do, we need to get the word of the Lord. When something comes, what's the first thing we do? We panic, we worry, we fiddle. Oh, what's going to happen? Ah, like headless chicken. No, that's not how the Christ one should be. We should be men and women of faith, like the men of old. When trouble comes, what do? We seek the Lord. We come before God. We stop. We do not pass go. We do not collect £200. Otherwise, we're heading straight for jail. We don't carry on as though nothing has happened. God knows what's suddenly... God's not caught out. God's not surprised. God goes, oh my goodness, do you see what happened to Sim the other day? Gabriel, did you see that? And I wasn't expecting... No. God knows and sees before. He knows the end from the beginning. Amen. That's why it's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So when something comes, the first thing that we need to do is seek God and ask him what's going on. My Bible says when there was a famine in the land, David sought the Lord.
That's right.
I said, why is there a famine in the land? Why? Why, Lord? Because as Christ ones, as children of God, we should not be experiencing some of the things we are experiencing. Because God has called us for greater things. And as Christ ones, we have rights as children of God, as sons and heirs. And we have rights to not be in some of the positions that some of us are in. Yet we put up with them. We put up with them. Because we think, oh, this is just my lot, isn't it? No! It was purchased for you. It should not be your lot. Hallelujah. Christ has made a way and opened the way. And we, some of us, need to boldly approach that eternal throne of grace. To find the grace and mercy and help and abundance that we need in the situation that we're seeking. Get a word of direction from God. Psalm 30, verse 4. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my
fears.
Hallelujah. Isn't that what we're saying? I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. All. So you get a word from God. What do you need to do? You need to act on that word. I told you it was deep this morning. You need to hear God and you need to do what he says. Amen. Come on. You know, we tickle our ears with all this teaching and stuff. Fantastic teaching that we hear online and all this stuff, and yet we're not obedient to God's word, and we wonder why it doesn't change. 1 Samuel 15:22, to obey is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. To obey, better than the fat of rams. Are you acting on what God has told you to do to respond positively to the challenges and trials that face you? Or are you just worrying about them and burying your head in the sand? Because sometimes to deal with what you have, you have to, and what God is saying, and to embrace what God is doing, to get the abundance, you have to leave where you're at. You see, some of us are caught in the middle. Can I just get that off there, please? Thank you. Sorry, my darling, to disturb you in the middle of this episode. You see, some of us are caught in the middle of situations. And some of us see some things there that are quite good. And I'm thinking, yes, Lord, but it's comfortable here. Yeah, Lord, I can handle this. I can cope with this. And God's saying, yes, but because of this situation, the abundance is over there. So saying, okay, God, I'm going to go over there. Because I can see the abundance that you're promising, but I'm going to go over there. But, oh, no, I don't want to let go of there, Lord. But I like this. There's some worth here. I'm quite happy here and content. You know, but God said, no. So I said, okay, Lord, well, I'll go, Lord. You know, that's what some of us are like. That's exactly where we're at. And God said, yeah. And God said, come on. And some of us have done the spiritual splits. And we can't get up again. And we're saying, Lord, oh, I'm so worried about tomorrow. And God said, for goodness sake, get up, will you? And go and embrace it. Leave it. Leave it. Because there's more there. There's more here. There's better. There's an overflow. There's an abundance. There's a running over. There's an overflow of your table here that I don't like over there. It's got enemies there. Listen, if God is there, that's where you need to be. Amen. Where do you need to be? Where God is. We've got to leave behind where we're not. We need to leave behind the place. When God says, act on what he says. What did Elijah do when God told him to up sticks in the middle of the famine in 1 Kings 17? It says in verse 5, so he did what the Lord told him. Now, it's not rocket science, but you know, we need to apply this word. We need to live this word. It's no use hearing the word, hearing it week in, week out, saying, oh, yeah, that was very nice. Thank you very much, Pastor. Yes, off we go. And not changing. We need to go change, transform from one degree of glory to another. Hallelujah. Amen. Nothing will change if we don't change. Nothing will change until we decide and act in faith on what God is saying. Hallelujah. It's time not to get caught. It's time to reach for what God's doing. Let's have the band back, please, if we could. Because God has more. And you know, in the foolishness of preaching, I want to ask you, what are you concerned about today? What are you worrying about today? What is the biggest issue that you face that is stopping you, that is causing you to freeze in your place where you are, that has got you frozen in that place and you can't feel like you can't move because you're fearful and anxious and it's overcome you. It's taken hold of you. Book of Timothy says, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and soundness of mind. And you know, there are some spirits of fear that we've allowed to dominate us, to come in and take hold of us and lay hold of us and say, right, you're not moving now. And the devil's got us bound in fear. Circumstances got us bound in fear. But I want to tell you, Jesus came to set the captive free. Right. Hallelujah. He was for freedom that Christ has set us free, no longer to be subject to a yoke of slavery, Galatians 5. And the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. He will quicken your mortal body and allow you to be free as well. Hallelujah. And as we heard last week, you know, the amazing thing is Christ purchased it. Christ has set you free. You are free. Day of freedom, as we heard the other week. Yeah, you know, you are free. Some of us just need to walk in that. Just walk in faith. Step out and believe the shackles are broken. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth and followed thee. In a moment, we're going to sing a song that called Faithful, Faithful Now. Because the same God who was faithful then is faithful now. The same God who was faithful to you in years gone by is going to be faithful again. The same God who ministered to the men of old and was faithful to them is faithful to you today, because he's your God too. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He never turns. And I believe this morning that for some people here, fear is going to be broken.
Amen.
Fear is going to, you're going to be released from fear.
Amen.
Released from fear. Hallelujah. Released from the chains that bind you. We're going to sing this. And as we do, I want you to embrace what God is saying to you. And I want you to trust in him to be the faithful one. The one who is faithful, because faithful is he has called you and he will bring it to pass. He's the faithful one.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's stand to our feet as we sing this. And allow God to do what he needs to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
need to speak to your fear right now. Come on, speak to your fear right now. Whatever you're anxious about, just speak to it right now. Right now, you declare, you tell it. You declare it who you are in Christ. You declare right now. You speak to that situation, that circumstance. You renounce fear. You say, I will not be subject to a yoke of slavery anymore. I will be not bound by fear anymore. I will walk in freedom in Christ, in that freedom that Christ has purchased for you. Right now, come on, declare it. Preach to your doubt. Speak to your fear. Preach to your doubt. Right now, whatever it is, tell it. Tell it. Circumstances are changing right now. Turning around. Things are breaking right now. There are people here who have been released right now. You're watching. You're being released right now. There is fear being broken in your life right now. Right now. Right now. God is doing it. You've been anxious. You don't know what way to turn. Someone's going to be evicted this week. And you're fearful, you're frightened. But God is saying He has made a way. He has made a way for you. He is going to provide for you. He's opening a door for you. As one door closes, another door is going to open. You're going to see the salvation of your God this week. You're going to see the intervention of your God this week. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, speak to it, speak to it, speak to it, speak to it, speak to it. Declare, declare what you believe today. What you declare, you believe in your heart, so it shall be done for you. Hallelujah. This is your Creator God. This is your God. Oh, we thank you. Some of you are anxious. Someone here is anxious about a report they've had from the doctor. A report they've had from the doctor. I want to tell you, God has you. God has you. God knows that report. God had that report before you did. And God has already worked a way before you even knew about it. Hallelujah. He says, put your trust in Him. Put your trust in Him. Reach to Him today with that. Reach to Him today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. The people who are anxious about things that have happened and things that have gone on. I want to tell you, God has not given up on you. You know, you may be fearful about the future because of the past, because of what's happened, because of what's gone on in your life in the past. I want to tell you, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Hallelujah. And He has made a way. And there may be consequences, but you know, God is bigger than consequences. And God is going to make a way for you. Even in consequences, God is still going to be with you. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. He will never leave you. He's there for the long haul with you. He is there for the long haul with you. God has you. God has you. Hallelujah. He's got you in the palm of His hand. He's inscribed you in the palm of His hand. He's not forgotten you. And that person who you feel has been, you've forgot, everyone's forgotten you. God has you. God has you inscribed. He sees you. He knows. He knows. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Your situation is so open. You just do not know what's going to happen. But I tell you, God has got you. He's seen you. He's seen you. And you're going to smile again. You're going to smile again. You're going to smile again. You think, how could I ever smile again? How could I ever be happy again? I tell you, you're going to smile again. You don't believe it now. You don't believe it because you can't imagine how it could possibly be. But I tell you, you will smile again. You will smile again. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank you. I thank you for what you have. I thank you for what you're doing. I don't know if there's anyone here this morning who has never surrendered their life to Christ, because that is the first step of what you need to do. And if you've never made your life right with Christ, who died for you on the cross, His invitation for you this morning is to invite Him into your life, to accept Him as your personal Savior, and to trust in Him. Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe the fears and circumstances of your life have caused you to backslide. You're not where you should be with God. He's calling you back to Him this morning. He wants you to come back to Him, because He wants you to put your hand back in His and see what He will do for you. Just in this moment of this attitude of atmosphere of praise and worship, if there's anyone here this morning who knows they need to commit their life to Christ for the first time or recommit their life to Christ, I just want you to do something. Just quickly pop your hand up, catch my attention, so we can pray a prayer together to help you on the next step. Is there anyone here this morning who needs to do that? Anyone watching who needs to do that today? Anyone, just quickly catch my attention. Just pop your hand up. Anyone here this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you, Father, for meeting needs this morning. You're watching. You never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You simply do it by confessing Jesus as Lord, asking Him to forgive you for all your sins. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And when you confess Him as Lord and Savior, you believe in your heart Christ raised Him, God raised Him from the dead, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. So you can pray that prayer right now. You can pray that prayer and be reconciled back to God. You can secure your place in eternity with Christ. Your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life by accepting Him this morning. Oh, Father, I thank You for the work You're doing in our midst, the work You're doing right now. Lord God, just ministering to hearts, bringing release and transformation right now, Holy Spirit. Right now, Holy Spirit, we're going to go back into this song again before we close. And I want You to declare. I want You to declare to your doubts. I want You to preach to your doubts. I want You to declare to your fear. I want You to declare who God is to these. Tell your mountain about your God. Stop telling God about your mountain. Tell your mountain about your God. Hallelujah. Oh God, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Come on, lead us again in this. Lead us again in this, please. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Oh, more, Lord, more, more, more. Thank You, Jesus. Come on, Jean, say it again. Say it again.
The Lord gave me this, and I was in fear of saying it because it's been such a long time since I've done anything like this. But this is what the Lord has said this morning. Open up, you gates of heaven, for as the rain falls upon the earth, so shall my blessings fall from heaven upon my church. For I hasn't seen nor ear heard what I have in store for those who love me.
Come on, give God some praise. Give God some praise. You need to hear that word. You need to hear that word this morning. Come on, guys, lead us in this. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, heart not conceived what God has in store. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank You. Songs of praise. praise you, we praise you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, there is liberty where the Spirit of God is, that there are men and women walking free today because of your word, your power, your Spirit breaking through. We thank you, Lord. We walk in faith. We walk in faith, Lord God. We go into our week in faith, Lord God. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one until he comes a cause. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Come on, give God some praise once again. The Lord bless you. Have an amazing week. Amen.